T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Middle of February, we're kind of struggling for stuff. Coaches talked to the media yesterday. I don't know what we really got out of that, but there's some stuff. And the Bucks, man, the Bucks don't play until Thursday. We got a lot to cover today.
And now, Chuck and Winkler, two townies talking Wisconsin sports, covering nothing but your favorite teams. Live from the Bryant and Stratton College Athletic Studios, this is Chuck and Winkler on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan.
How about that for a tease?
There you go. Well, one of us had to.
I don't know what that means, but it feels like that was getting a shot at me.
No, that was turning the tables, because our show was stuck in mud to start the show today.
I disagree.
We were kind of going nowhere, and I wanted to move on to a different topic.
Oh,
but Thursday. God, the All-Star break. Why does it got to be 7 or 8 days or 8 days for the Bucks? 7 for like a handful of other teams. But man, it's just so long. I wish they were starting back up tonight.
Yeah, I do too. Baseball's break doesn't seem this long.
No, baseball, they get back at it. Well, they get back at it Friday, so they finish off on a Sunday and start Friday already. I think a couple of teams start on Thursday, but it's like a 3-day, 4-day break. But basketball, it's 7 days, 8 days for the Bucks.
Oh, you remember what happened? The baseball All-Star break last year, I think the Cubs and Cardinals made up a game on that Thursday. Does that sound right?
I think so. At Wrigley.
Because it was the only game that day, and then it was on national TV, and the ratings were a little increased for it. So I was thinking they were going to try to do that to spotlight a game again this year. I don't think they have. But, yeah, typically you get a few days off. Basketball, it is going to be about a week in between games for the Bucks. Play again on Thursday at home. That'll be on TNT against the Celtics. But basketball, I would assume that, like, it takes longer. You need that rest a little
more. Well, I'm surprised then they don't do the break a little earlier, because this is an open part. Like, there's nothing going on in sports right now. So now they have the All-Star break. Shouldn't they take the All-Star break in January, where the football playoffs are going on and all that? There's only like 25 games left this season. So they do way more than halfway past the season. Do they take the All-Star break? Season ends in less than 2 months, and they're taking the All-Star break just now.
Yeah, my wife was watching some of the game, and she said, so it's halfway through the NBA season? I said, well, there's like 20 games left.
Yeah, there's 20 games left. We're taking the All-Star, and they're taking 8 days off.
And the playoffs start in like a week and a half.
So they're taking 8 days off for 20, 25 games left of the season.
Is there a reason for this? I don't know. I don't remember why.
I don't remember why, but in recent years, it seems like All-Star breaks are longer than they normally have. I don't know if this is something that was renegotiated, but I don't remember All-Star breaks until recent years being this long.
Did it used to be earlier?
I thought it used to be.
Let me see a list of games. There's no dates.
The All-Star break was right around this time, but the season end it later. Remember, now we're starting the season earlier. We're starting the season mid-October, and that's why there's only a handful of games left. It used to be the NBA season would always start Halloween weekend, but we start 2 weeks earlier this year, and maybe that's why.
Yeah, going back like 40 years, the All-Star game has pretty much always been in February.
Yeah, but
maybe late January in the 70s?
But part of the season, then it started there.
Right, I gotcha.
You know, later on, too. I'm glad the season's starting earlier, though. I like the idea of starting mid-October. But, man, the All-Star break should be in mid-January.
If you didn't watch the All-Star game, you still probably saw this play with our boy Giannis, the Greek Freak, getting a bounce pass from Steph Curry, where Curry's eyes get really big because he knows what's about to happen. He bounces it. Giannis comes flying, reaches the ball nearly at the top of the backboard and slams it down. You think of an alley-oop, you think pass up, ball down, but Curry on this one bounced it, and then Giannis slammed it after it reached a very high point. So that was the highlight that happened. This was the call on TNT on Sunday night.
Here's Curry with a high bounce pass.
You saw the bench. Middleton's going crazy with his teammates. Mike Budenholzer maybe smiled as big as he smiled all season. It was a great highlight. How did it sound in other languages, Frames? We've got that for you. A couple of Spanish calls on the broadcast. Tell me how you think of these. This is that same highlight in Spanish.
¡Qué clase de pase botado! Y Antetokounmpo tuvo que abrir el paracaídas, Dios mío.
That's not bad.
All right.
The guy seemed to pronounce Giannis better than most people do in English.
Y Antetokounmpo tuvo que abrir el paracaídas, Dios mío.
He didn't call him Giannis.
No, which a lot of people still do. Another Spanish call.
Embiid quiere defender. Don Stephen, el pase picado. ¡Vaya mate! Ahí está el mate. Lo mejor seguramente.
All right, so pretty good. A good level of excitement here.
Yeah.
Here's the call in Greek. This is the bounce pass Curry to Giannis.
They must have been on fire.
In Greek.
Τον Γιάννη και ο Γιάννης είναι το φαβορί, όχι γιατί τον θέλουμε εμείς, αλλά γιατί η ομάδα του έχει το καλύτερο ρεκόρ και έχει εκπληκτικά νούμερα σαν αυτό το κάρφωμα.
They seem bored.
Yeah. They've, like they've seen that before.
Yeah. Come on, guys.
Yeah.
Get pumped up a little bit. Here's the call in Arabic.
Oh, standa, yasajal, Allah, bounce pass, ragadan, rawa, man, Stephen Curry.
I heard bounce pass in there.
Yeah, I did too.
I heard that.
Yeah.
Here's the call in Mandarin.
想要越过Joel Embiid差太多. Curry 地板就往上弹.
Whoa! 这样也行啊. Wow!
So are these the radio or TV broadcasts?
These are the, I think, TV broadcasts.
Okay.
That's a good one. I like that one so far the best.
Yeah, the two guys chiming in there.
Whoa! 这样也行啊! Wow!
And then here's the call in French.
Pas lui, surtout pas lui. Oh, oui, oui!
Oh! Ça va rester ça. Celle-là, on n'a pas fini de la voir. Steph Curry passe à terre. Allez!
But the French language, man, that's such a sweet language. I mean, anytime you hear a Frenchman talk, I mean, it's so suave.
Well, it's the language of romance.
Yeah, it's so suave.
Oh, ça va rester ça. Celle-là, on n'a pas fini de la voir.
Even calling a basketball game.
Yeah,
like my pants fell off.
I mean, really, even a Frenchman calling a basketball game sounds seductive.
This call in Greek, dude, I'm going to play that again. I'm a little disappointed.
Τον Γιάννη και ο Γιάννης είναι το φαβορί, όχι γιατί τον θέλουμε εμείς, αλλά γιατί η ομάδα του έχει το καλύτερο ρεκόρ και έχει εκπληκτικά νούμερα σαν αυτό το κάρφωμα.
Oh, that's their guy, too. It should be going through the roof when they're making that call.
That reminds me of when, like, Joe Buck called the helmet catch for David Tyree in the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Manning drops back, and it's caught. It's caught. He caught the ball. Glued it to his helmet.
He caught his helmet.
It's caught. Come on, Joe. Anyway, some of the calls from around the world. Giannis receiving the bounce pass from Steph Curry. And I had tweeted out on Sunday. I said, dude, one more of these alley-oops, because there was another really good one later. One more of these alley-oops, and Steph Curry's going to have to get fined for tampering. There was a writer with The Athletic that covers the Golden State Warriors that sort of saw the same thing that a lot of us did. Marcus Thompson II. Talking about laying out the scenario now, and this is not going to be the first time we're going to have to deal with something like this. He laid out the scenario in which Golden State can acquire Giannis. He talked about how good it would look Curry and Giannis and Klay Thompson for this to happen. Kevin Durant would likely have to either sign a short-term deal and then leave, or if he left this offseason, if they signed Durant to a four-year deal, you can write off Giannis because he could be a free agent in 2021. He talked about how when they got Durant, the Warriors were planning that out for years, and it worked. They've been doing the same thing with Anthony Davis. Doesn't look like that's going to work. They could be doing – because the Warriors do this, man. They
they look years down the road about who they could acquire to keep this thing going. When it's done with Steph, Clay, Draymond, and Durant, they don't want this to end. They are addicted. They want to keep winning these titles. And so what he's saying is that don't be surprised if the Warriors brass is already figuring out ways to target Giannis Antetokounmpo. He says another problem with this could be if the Bucks are good, but he goes on to say this, again, Marcus Thompson, the second in The Athletic, the likely result is that the Bucks bow out early in the playoffs. They don't have enough top-end talent. Milwaukee has some good players and one great one, but they still look like they need another star to pair with Giannis if they want to take down Philly, Boston, or Toronto.
Okay, why could it be the other way around? Maybe Giannis is tampering with Curry, and he wants Curry to come to Milwaukee. Couldn't have been the other way? Maybe Curry's trying to get on Giannis's good side. Why can't it? Why is it everybody wants to flood to Golden State? Okay.
Well, I think in
why couldn't it be the other way around?
In this scenario, Curry is signed longer than Giannis, but really only by a year. So I guess if the Bucks
couldn't it be the other way? Why is it that? Yeah.
If they want to start planning to get Curry in 2022,
yeah.
I mean, could certainly do that.
Curry's what, 30 years old? He's got a long career ahead of him yet. He's got what, at least 7 or 8 years of good ball ahead of him, I think. With his game, so why can't the Bucks do a little recruiting for Curry? Why is it automatically we're worried about losing him to Golden State?
See, I liked watching Giannis.
We need to change that mentality up a little bit.
I liked watching him in the All-Star game because we've talked about it. He didn't grow up with these guys. A lot of these guys grew up together, either in the AAU circuit. Some of them know each other. Some of them are related. They've played for Team USA, a lot of them too. So a lot of these guys know each other pretty well. Giannis came from a completely different background, as we've talked about, doesn't know these guys, but it does seem over the years that he's formed a friendship or a bond with Curry. Curry drafted him first last year. Giannis drafted Curry first this year. So, yes, I would love to watch the two play together. I will not be rooting in any way. I have to clear this up. I don't want Giannis to go to Golden State. I have to say that?
I feel like I have to. I'm looking at it the other way. Yeah, we got to end this mentality that we're losing all these guys to better teams.
What you're going to see,
we got to be a player. We got to be that team.
You're going to see more articles like this.
We
this
have
will
to
not
be that
the
team.
Last.
We have to be our city. We got to start taking a stand, and we got to be the team that people want to come to and start winning games. And you do that through winning championships.
Well, the Bucks have done everything right over the last year and a half to make that true. To keep Giannis, to attract free agents. They've done everything they can outside of change the weather, the new arena, the new facilities, the new coach, the wins. We'll still see what they do in the playoffs, but the Bucks have done everything right. And I don't think he's going to leave. I don't, Giannis. But these articles are going to continue to come out until he signs again with us.
Of course they are. You know, but again, we can't take that defensive mentality and thinking that, hey, what guys are going to come here and play around Giannis? Guys like Anthony Davis. You're Anthony Davis at the All-Star game. That guy's flip-flopping so many times. Now he's saying that there's 29 teams on his list. So everybody's on his list but the New Orleans Pelicans. If you're in the Pelicans fan base, how do you feel about that? He says every team in the NBA, basically, is on his list but the Pelicans. No wonder why the guy's going to get booed at home. He comes out and says this past weekend at All-Star Weekend.
It's Chuck and Winkler, served up by Perkins, 414-799-1250. Let's grab our friend Brian on the south side. Brian, what's up?
Hi, Brian.
Hi, how you doing, guys?
Good, what's up?
Bart, I was, you guys are mentioning this kind of sports.
Oh, God, your phone
Brian,
sucks.
Brian.
What?
We can't hear you.
You can't hear me?
I think we can now.
Okay. You guys have mentioned this is a slow sports day. Well, Bart, I come in your shoes with soccer, but my passion, my new passion is rugby. And I've been following it for about a year now. Right now, the Six Nations Tournament is going on, and it's a big deal everywhere except here in America. Of course, we're not in it, but what are your guys' thoughts on rugby? It's great in everywhere around the globe except here in America. Kind of like soccer. So, Bart, I'm in your shoes. I have nobody to talk to about rugby, similar to you getting a lot of crap for talking about soccer on the program.
I bet you we can get some soccer calls lined up here a lot quicker than rugby.
Yeah. I like tougher sports than rugby.
Like what, gladiators?
Show me a man's sport. Don't show me. Come on. Give me a tougher sport than that.
You need to see lions killing guys in the Coliseum. Thanks, Brian. You want to cover that? There's no game tonight.
What's that?
There's no game tonight, so if we take Brian's suggestion and cover the Six Nations Cup.
Sure.
You want to be on charge of that one?
No, that's fine.
Orvat, you book a rugby guest for us, thanks.
Yeah, we need a writer from Bulgaria, maybe.
Yeah, just or get like Orlowski to do an accent. Nobody knows who we're talking to. There's a lot going on. I'm not saying it's a slow day.
No, there is a lot going on. We said at the top of the show, despite being at middle of February, there's a ton of things going on with the Brewers and the Packers now announcing their coaching staff, the entire coaching staff, and the Badgers playing a wonderful game like last night.
But if there was ever a time to squeeze in some rugby talk, this may be the week to do it. It's Chuck and Winkler, served up by Perkins Restaurant and Bakeries, 105.7 FM, The Fan.
Well, who knows? Maybe the Q Club would put some rugby on for this guy, man. They play all the sports over there at Q Club of Wisconsin, starting with their indoor sports room, the huge entertainment room, the pool tables, the tornado foosball, shuffleboard, the electronic darts, ping pong. If you haven't played bocce ball, they got that at the Q Club. They got the indoor courts going on. Time to branch out and see why this sport is a fast-rising game in America. Also, catch your favorite team on TV. The Q Club never takes a back seat when it comes to its food. It's always good. It's always fresh. It's always delicious. Awesome burgers, wings, appetizers, award-winning fish fries, both Wednesday and Friday nights. Your choice of four different styles piled high with all the extras. And, of course, the live entertainment. They got that on weekends at the Q Club. Check out their Facebook page for all the details there. Q Club, good sports, food, huge entertainment room, the Friday fish fries, Wednesday and Friday nights, your choice of four different styles piled high with all the extras. Where's the Q Club of Wisconsin? Waukesha's Great North Side, 2454 North Grandview Boulevard, a half mile south of I-94 in Waukesha. Take 94 to Highway T, go a half mile south, and there it is, Q Club of Wisconsin. I'm telling you, they got all the games on, volume, great food. Head on out there to Q Club of Wisconsin on Waukesha's Great North Side. Visit them online, qclubofwi.com, or on Facebook.
We talked a lot yesterday around this time about Mike Moustakas coming to the Milwaukee Brewers. Chuck all gung-ho on the addition. Me a little reserved. That's completely flip-flopped. The reason for that coming up next.
One of them will be the full-time guy. Yes. Yes. You know, whoever goes over there, they'll still play third base. They'll still have some third base time. But one of them will be the primary second baseman.
It's Craig Council, spring training. One of them being Travis Shaw or Mike Moustakas. So the second base market, we see Jed Lowry. Can we? No, he's got Brian Dozier. No, he's somewhere else. Josh Harrison, no, you don't want him. Marwin Gonzalez is versatile. No, going to let him sit out there too. All right, well, let's take one of these third basemen and have them play second. We did it last year. It, for the most part, worked. So let's try it again. Although, let's not quite put Travis Shaw back there. Maybe Mike Moustakas goes to second base. That's the plan. To get Mike Moustakas reps at second base in spring training. They know what it's like when Travis Shaw plays over there. Now for the next 6 weeks, they want to see Mike Moustakas over there. Chuck and Winkler, that's Chuck Freeman. I'm Bart Winkler in the Bryant and Stratton College Athletic Studios. It makes me feel better about the move. Not that I understand, and we went over this quite a bit yesterday. The money is not an issue. I want the Brewers to spend as much as possible. And you're creating depth, which is always good. I just didn't want to see Travis Shaw continue to get jerked around. I thought that when he played second, he made a big sacrifice last year to do that. It did work out for him, but that could have been a huge risk for him for his career. It worked out. So then he moves back to third, and then this whole offseason, he's like, all right, I'm third base again. Meanwhile, there's this, you know, white elephant in the room or whatever, thinking, okay, is Moose coming back? Is he not coming back? Apparently, Council's been talking to him for weeks, and so have these guys. Braun and Yelich have been doing stuff with him for the California Strong. And so what they're going to do now is have Shaw play third in spring training and give Moose reps over there and then make their decision after that.
What is odd about this is, as you said at the top there, all those second basemen, those natural second basemen, off the board, They could have had Daniel Murphy. They could have had some of these other guys, but they chose to wait this long and then choose Moustakas, a guy who's never played second base, to play second base or to give Mitrout a second base. That's odd that they would do that. They would apparently they've been looking for a second baseman, but meanwhile, all those second basemen went off the board, and then they decided, okay, we'll sign Moose and just try to play him at second base and see how this works out.
Well, I think what they're thinking is, and we'll hear from Craig Counsell again in just a second, is that it's not about finding the best second baseman that's available. It's about creating the best lineup that's possible. And if you have to take a guy and play him out of position to do that, that's their desired outcome, Craig Counsell yesterday.
We're trying to, you know, create a lineup that's going to score a lot of runs. And it's one place that I think we can be better. So I think we're putting together a position player group that we think can, on a daily basis, provide a lot of problems. And part of the best way to do that is to kind of create a circle in your lineup where there's no easy outs. That's the best way to do it. I think that's the best way to create consistency. And length is another way of saying that, for sure. But that's what we're after.
So what they're looking at is our team right now, instead of adding whatever the best second baseman is, let's add Moustakas because we think he's better offensively than any of those other guys, and we're just going to have to then figure out who can play second because we want the best lineup possible, and that's what they think this will give them.
Here's what the route they're going. Instead of pitching in defense, which we've heard over the years, teams win with pitching and good defense. The Brewers have decided to outscore other teams and rely on their bullpen. Let's have the best lineup possible because pitching is such an expensive premium out there. Let's have the best lineup possible, get boppers throughout the lineup, score as many runs, hoping our starting pitching could take us through at least five innings, let the bullpen take over, and that's how we're going to win the division title again.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's about as good a lineup as I've ever been a part of, if you look at it on paper. And on top of that, it just adds to our depth. You know, as we all know, throughout the course of a season, your depth will be tested. So the more quality players you have that are starting on an everyday basis as well as coming off your bench, the more beneficial it is as you inevitably deal with adversity as a team. So he makes us a lot better. He adds to the depth and strength of our lineup, and I think it just really does lengthen that lineup 1-8, no question.
That's Ryan Braun, obviously. Is this the best starting lineup in terms of batting lineup that you've ever seen for the Milwaukee Brewers?
Probably the 82 Brewers still are the best lineup ever. I mean, you had two Hall of Famers in that lineup. You know, you had a guy who could have been a batting champ with Cooper. You had home run champ with Ogilvy and Thomas. You had Ted Simmons, a terrific catcher. I'd still say the 82 Brewers, but this one is right up there. This one matches. This one is up there, man. This one's going to put. Depending on the pitcher. I mean, if you have a right-handed pitcher, then look at that left-handed lineup you could have out there. Those lefties in the order, and if you put, a lefty at first base, you have a lefty at second base, you have Yelich, you could have a Grandal. Your catcher's a left-handed hitter against a right-handed pitcher. You're going to have a terrific left-handed hitting lineup.
The potential Brewers lineup could be Kane, Yelich, Braun, Shaw, Aguilar, Grandal, Moose in the seventh spot, Arcia, and then the pitcher spot.
Yeah, but if they go with a left-handed lineup, look at the lefties you have in that lineup that you could stack up there. It's incredible, and they could give some teams some problems. Now, can the starting pitching be good enough to hold out? Because you got all those good bats. You know, is the starting pitching good enough to win the division title again? We know the bullpen was good last year. Can the bullpen do what it did last year? But the offense part, that offense is terrific. If it's not the best offense in Brewer history, it's up there.
So your initial thoughts to Moose playing second, not a fan?
Yeah, I would rather keep him at third and move Shaw, because I thought Shaw was terrific at second base last year. I did. I thought he made all the plays. He had to make some tough ones. And Moose over at third. yeah, a couple of times Moose coughed it up a little bit over third. But, man, he was a bulldog over there. I would rather keep it like that. Not that I'm not willing to try the experiment, because, hey, if Council thinks that this is a way to go, and Council knows more about second base than any of us, or shortstop, middle infield, or baseball in general, but if he knows the middle infield, and if he feels Moose could possibly play second base, he wouldn't even try to do this.
Travis playing second base was not a statement at all about his defense at third base, because he played a very, very, very good third base. You know, what he showed is that what he kind of shows at third base is why we thought is that he just catches everything. Like, every time the ball hits his glove, he catches it. That's what he's got, just good hands. It's not kind of doesn't always look like it, but when the ball just keeps going in your glove, that's good hands.
Twitter account you may not like chiming in, True Golden Eagles. I know you like to call them the Warriors, but
yeah,
his Twitter account is True Golden Eagles. He says, Moose provides the best bat out of all available second base free agents, hashtag Brewers, and that's what the Brewers seem to have decided, that instead of going with a true second baseman, they're going to have one of these guys figure it out and play it out. Now, if you're Moose, are you like, I'm just going to boot a few balls so I can still play third?
Oh, you mean tank it?
Yeah.
Who tanks it?
Well, spring training, if he boots a ball or two.
Well, no, I don't think he'd do that.
Okay.
No, I don't think that's the route he would take. Now, here's the deal.
I was just kidding.
I know you were. I hope you were. Can Moose get to the balls, Barton Hole, in the you know, up the middle? Can he get to the balls that are headed towards right field and snag those? Can he, you know, he's tough enough to hang in there to turn a double play. You know, how is he turning the double play? How is he turning the double play? I mean, all those things that you have to do at second base that are difficult things to do for his body type. We'll see. We'll see if he's got those, if he could do that, if he's got any range over there. I mean, you got to have a ton of range. I mean, yeah, you can get to the balls that are hit to you and all that. That's fine. But can you go out there and chase down those balls that are headed towards right field that are seemingly going to be a base hit, but your second baseman's able to snag it and take away a base hit?
It's Chuck and Winkler, served up by Perkins Restaurant and Bakeries. We'll take a look just how good. Braun thinks it's the best lineup he's ever been a part of. We'll take a look at some of the lineups of yesteryear here on The Fan. Hey, Harry's Razors, limited time only. You can get their new shave set for a very low, low rate. Millions and millions of people have jumped on board the Harry's Razors. They are going to send the razors right to your door and cut out all the middleman. And it's going to be a more efficient razor. So a lot of these razor companies, what they do is they jack up their price. They're always looking, you know, to, as a business would, to make a profit. So what do? They say, well, if we take this razor that we already have and we're selling it for $10 because we've, you know, greased the price up as much as we can, if we just tweak a little bit, make it look like a spaceship and throw out some aerodynamic line, we can charge $15 for the pack instead. And they keep finding new ways to do that. And the guys that founded Harry's are like, can I just get a razor that can shave my face? I want it to be comfortable. I want it to be smooth. I don't need all the gimmicks. So that's what they've come up with. A simple, clean design with quality, durable blades at a fair price. Harry's Razors. You can join the 10 million people who have tried Harry's already for a limited time only. Harry's is a special offer for you guys that listen to the show. New customers get $5 off a trial set from Harry's with the code BART at harrys.com. Harrys.com, the code is BART. That means what you'll get is a razor, a weighted handle, a foaming shave gel, and a travel cover. Again, just the basics here, all for just $3 plus free shipping when you use the code BART at harrys.com. Get on board. Try what I've done, tried, and continue to do. Try what millions of people have already done. Go to harrys.com today. Use code BART at checkout to claim your offer.
Man.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's about as good a lineup as I've ever been a part of, if you look at it on paper. And on top of that, it just adds to our depth. You know, as we all know, throughout the course of a season, your depth will be tested. So the more quality players you have that are starting on an everyday basis as well as coming off your bench, the more beneficial it is as you inevitably deal with adversity as a team. So he makes us a lot better. He adds to the depth and strength of our lineup, and I think it just really does lengthen that lineup 1 through 8, no question.
That's Ryan Braun talking the addition of Mike Moustakas Ryan Braun's talked about. Moose Council was telling us, yeah, he'll play second. Lorenzo Cain, excited to have Moose back, his former teammate with the Royals, and of course last season. Chuck and Winkler here on The Fan. What I thought was a little interesting yesterday was these guys were all talking about it. He's not like officially signed. We just heard the report from Rosenthal, and a lot of times coaches will say, well, we can't comment, but the Brewers are just like, yeah, he's coming back.
Yeah, I mean, they haven't even, the club hasn't even announced that he's signed.
Isn't that weird?
No press releases or anything, but they've, you know, apparently he's been talking to him. Council's been talking to him and all that. And
yeah, I've been talking to him for weeks, he said.
Yeah. So this is like one of the biggest secrets ever that hasn't been a secret, that he was coming back to the Milwaukee Brewers. You know, normally Moustakas would be batting like on a team maybe fifth or fourth on a lineup. But you look at the Brewer lineup, man, he's all the way down to seventh or eighth in the Brewer lineup.
Right. No, it's going to be a pretty dynamic lineup. If you just go through what it might look like, Cain, Yelich, Braun, Shaw, Aguilar, Grandal, Moustakas, Arcia. You've got to think that Braun's right, that this is the best lineup he's ever been a part of. I got the opening day lineups here going back the whole history of the franchise. I think maybe, I'm just trying to find another lineup that would be close to this. Maybe the Weeks, Hart, Braun, Fielder, Hardy, Cameron, Hall, Kendall. But even that is.
Oh,
I mean, I'd rather have this lineup for sure.
Oh, the 82 lineup would for sure be better.
All right, so a non-Braun lineup. Let's look at the 82 lineup for the best lineup in Brewers history.
Yeah.
I've got opening day lineup.
Mm-hmm.
Paul Molitor at third. Charlie Moore at catcher. Cecil Cooper at first. Ogilvie in left. Thomas in center. Robin Yount at short. Mark Brujart in right.
Brujart, yeah, he...
Jim Gantner at second.
Yeah, later on, Moore would switch to right, and Ted Simmons would be the catcher. So who's the left fielder? They have Oakley at left. They have Thomas in center. They tried Molitor at right. That was an experiment they tried that didn't work. Or they tried him in center, and it didn't work. I'd say that lineup with Simmons at catcher and Moore in right field, because Moore had a gun for her arm in right field.
You know, it's almost more fun to look at the worst lineup that they've ever put together.
Oh, God. Go to the 90s for that.
Let me give you 2003. In center field, Alex Sanchez. At second base, Eric Young. At first, Richie Sexson. In left field, John Vanderwall.
Yeah, cleanup hitter.
In right field, Jeffrey Hammonds. At third, Wes Helms. Doing the catching, Eddie Perez. And at shortstop, Royce Clayton.
Yeah, that's 70 losses, or 70 wins right there.
Now, where's another really bad one?
Go to like 2000. Well, the worst in franchise history was 2000. Was it 2001?
Belliard. 2002? Tyler Houston at third. Jenkins, Sexson, Burnett, Hammonds, Jose Hernandez, Henry Blanco.
I mean, that's some hitters in the lineup in the middle part of that. A lot of strikeouts. But a lot of home runs.
Yeah, some fan favorites there.
Yeah, some guys who hit the ball at a ballpark.
How about 1999, Fernando Vina at second base?
Yeah, solid.
In center field, Marquise Grissom.
Yeah, never turned out to the player we thought he was going to.
At the hot corner, Jeff Cirillo. In right field, Jeremy Burnett.
I mean, that top four is not bad.
At first base, Sean Berry.
Well, now we're getting worse.
At the backstop, David Nilsson. Playing short, Mark Loretta. Oh, Jeff Jenkins in the eighth spot.
I mean, not a horrible lineup. Not really horrible. You know, Dave Nilsson was a serviceable player. He wasn't bad.
Yeah, see, some of these lineups, there's still some names that are okay.
I mean, they had a couple of guys who could play. I mean, Dave Nilsson was not a bad hitter. You know, he caught some sickness where he lost some of his strength. Like he was bitten by a mosquito, not malaria or anything like that, but it was something like that overseas, like when he was in Australia. And he lost some of his strength, and that affected him, I know.
It's Chuck and Winkler, served up by Perkins Restaurant and Bakery. He's coming up on the show 8:20. We'll talk to Gary Wolfel. 9 o'clock, Jonathan Charks from The Ringer will join us. We'll talk some Chris Middleton in 9:20. Back into the Packer coaching discussion, what we learned with Mike Clemens.
I don't think the Chicago Cubs are ever going to turn out to be the dynasty that people thought they were. And now it appears the Cubs are out of money. The owner, Tom Ricketts, was asked down at spring training, why didn't you go out and spend some money for Bryce Harper or Manny Machado? And Ricketts turned to the reporter and said, it's very easy. We don't have any more. We don't have any more money.
You take that at face value?
Well, they didn't do much to improve the team in the offseason.
No, they didn't.
So, apparently, the Cubs are going on the cheap once again, where you thought that, not you, but I mean, people thought that they were going to be out to be the Yankees.
I thought.
You thought they were going to be the New York Yankees and be spending money?
I said 3 years ago, the Cubs will win at least two World Series by 2020.
But you didn't think they were going to be like, did you think, what I'm saying here is, did you think they were going to be like the Yankees? Where the Yankees were going to be in the market for every free agent. There was a time that every free agent, big name guy out there, the Yankees were going to be the lead dog on that guy, okay? The Cubs haven't been that team.
Oh, yeah, I thought they'd go get Bryce Harper
last year.
They
haven't been, but the Cubs haven't been that team to go out there and spend all this money. They haven't been.
I mean, the Yu Darvish contract.
Yeah, didn't get him anywhere.
But they spent money.
They spent money, but it didn't get him anywhere. And I think, you know, you look at this offseason, they kept Cole Hamels. That was their biggest move. They kept Cole Hamels. What else did they do? Xavier Cedeno, they added to the bullpen.
Oh, he was good. I didn't like to see that.
No, I mean, but still, that's the biggest move they made. They didn't do anything. Their payroll is going to open up the season at $208 million. $208 million on their payroll, some, what, $70 million more, $80 million more than the Brewers, $90 million more than the Brewers, yet the Brewers are picked ahead of the Cubs in a few different polls.
Oh, they're still paying Jason Hayward for five more years.
Exactly.
Oof, 22 per.
Yeah. Guy can't even start every day.
Jason Hayward's got a player option for the next 5 years at least.
Yeah.
He's going to take that every time.
Is he not taking the out clause there?
Nope. Yu Darvish is the same way.
Yeah. So Baseball Prospectus right now has got the Brewers, or has got the Cubs at 80 and 82.
Yep. The Pecota ones. Yeah.
80 and 82. Wow. So this franchise that...
Ricketts can say all he wants. I ain't buying it.
That they're broke?
I don't think they're broke.
How come they're not spending money then?
Well, they've already spent $210 million. They're getting their own network, which is going to be a huge boon for them financially.
So why did they go after Harper or Machado?
Well, that's a lot of money.
Well, prices have come down on both of those guys.
Sure, but you're already spending $210 million.
Well, so adding another $25 million on Machado?
I guess then they are out of money.
I mean, he says they have no more money to spend. No more money. They couldn't spend any money in the offseason. I think that's fantastic. Didn't win the division title last year, yet and to improve the team in the offseason, they didn't do it. The Brewers won the division title, and they improved the team in the offseason.
Look, I think that we're always like, hey, the Cubs, ha-ha, they suck, ha-ha, they're broke when they're spending $210 million. I think we always want to, like, write them off. Don't do it.
Oh, that's no.
Don't
no.
do it.
Oh, no. No, no, no. Don't write them off. Do I think they're going to finish 80 and 82? No. They'll have a winning record. They'll contend. Their pitching staff is still pretty good. And Chris Bryant's going to come back from his shoulder. He sounds like he's going to be fine. And that shoulder injury plagued him the entire season last year, especially in the second part. So I don't see the Cubs going away. It's just funny to hear the owner saying that they can't spend any money, and the whole fan base is enraged by that.
You want to talk about not having enough money. You know this AAF league? It almost didn't make it to week two, this new football league. Details on that next. That's a highlight from the AAF this weekend. I don't think you care what team or who, but people have been watching these games. The Alliance of American Football, the Spring League, as I told you, I like it. I'll turn it on, but I don't like it enough that I, like, have to watch till the bitter end. If I'm just sitting there, it's Sunday, I'll turn this on for an hour. I'll get invested in it. And then, oh, we got to go run some errands. You got to go pick up some groceries. Okay, fine. And I can't tell you. Yeah. You can quiz me. I can't tell you who won. But I enjoy the fact that there's an option to watch some football. It's kind of like, you know, when you watch reruns of shows. Oh, that old Simpsons is on. Okay, I'll watch it. But I don't need to see the end because, you know, whatever.
Yeah, you know what? I don't even think of the AFF until you bring it up on the show.
You didn't even say the name right.
AFF?
A-A-F.
A-A-F. I don't even think of it until you will bring it up on the show. I don't even know. But I'm kind of curious to hear how they didn't almost make it to week two.
Well, this was reported by David Glenn of The Athletic.
I only made it out of one series when I saw them play.
No, it's getting a lot of buzz, a lot of football. You know, writers are liking it. A lot of the analytical guys are liking it. I think a lot of casual fans are liking it. The first night did pretty decent in the ratings. Some 3 million people watched the league with very little hoopla. I think the NFL is doing a good job getting involved in it. They're showing games on their network. Patrick Mahomes is tweeting about it. They've got their guys lending their voices to it. They are supporting it on their channel because I think they want to just kind of keep the XFL at bay when it comes next year.
Sure.
You could have the AAF.
Maybe that's it.
Competing with the NFL. And if the AAF, it's not threatening to the NFL. It could be looked at as a developmental league. But they almost missed payroll on Friday. And Carolina Hurricanes owner Tom Dundon dumped $250 million into the league last week.
Okay.
To save it from imploding after 1 week. There were payroll issues. Paychecks were not received. The AAF said, oh, no, it's just a glitch. And now this Dundon guy, because he dumped so much money into it, he is going to be introduced as the new chairman. We don't know what that means for current chairman Charlie Ebersole and Bill Polian.
Boy, if you have $250 million invested, you are sitting around that you could dump it into a league or any business that's losing money like that, you got some extra cash. You got some disposable income in your hands right there. Man, $250 million, is that a good business move?
I don't know. I don't know why he was so willing to save it. I mean, he could want a team in Raleigh. That was a discussion, whether it's a existing team or a new team, if they have the capabilities to expand. I mean, in the home markets, they're doing pretty well. The San Antonio market, they are filling up that Alamo Dome, at least with a handful of passionate fans that are getting and throwing their weight behind it. But yeah, if you heard like the Bucks owners, if all of a sudden they threw $250 to save this league, you'd be like, well, wait a minute. Why did people help finance a stadium?
Yeah.
If you're going to throw $250 into the spring league.
We just talked about Tom Ricketts of the Cubs claiming they're bankrupt. In so many words, they don't have any money to spend. And this guy's throwing $250 million into a league that's not apparently couldn't make it out of its first, almost didn't make it out of week one. So what happens in week two?
Week three? The 250 should cover it.
Okay.
For a while. They're not making enough money that 250 is not going to save it for just a week. So the season is saved, right?
Oh, so he saved the season.
Right.
Okay, so that's going to cover the rest of the year.
I don't think the payroll in the NFL combined is even $250
million. Well, but I mean expenses and rental of the stadiums and all that. There's all, you know, the front office people and, you know, everything else, the workers. You got to pay all those, not just payroll. I mean, there's a lot more that goes into it. So, I mean, is that how much does he think? Does that save the season?
It saves the season. I don't know. I don't have the financial sheet here. I feel like you want some more clarification.
Well, no. If he's going to dump $250, does that save a week?
No, it'll save the season.
It'll save the season. Okay.
It's going to save the season.
Yeah.
So, you AAF diehards, you'll be saved. I wish you would get into it a little more.
Why?
I'd love to talk more about it with you.
Oh, God, no. No. Why? The league's not going to hang around.
It's going to be the developmental league for the NFL, and it's going to knock died. Off the XFL.
It almost died after the first.
And almost the only counts in and, slow dancing and hand grenades.
And the XFL didn't stay around very long.
And nuclear
either.
Weapons
no.
And horseshoes.
No, you know what? As much as I'd like to see another league come in and all that, that'd be fun. I can't put any stock into it because I don't think it's going to last.
What else are you doing this weekend?
Probably watch college basketball.
Ah.
Oh, God. Oh, who wants to watch college basketball?
Get into the AAF. Let's pick a team together. We'll buy each other jerseys.
Are there jerseys? Can fans buy jerseys?
Yes.
Can they?
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.